This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. So today's going to be a great day. I'm going to talk to a young man that I've known most of his life, Rob Lester from Tucson, Arizona. And Rob was born in Tucson, stayed there for 2 months. Since his dad was in the Air Force, he moved to Oklahoma where he grew up, graduated from high school. After graduating, he tried the college route but was unsuccessful, found himself joining the Army. Rob served in Germany, Desert Storm, Korea, Fort Benning, and Fort Riley. When he got out, he tried many things, from becoming a licensed aircraft mechanic, a youth pastor, to senior pastor. Eventually found himself back in Tucson in 2006 with his wife and 5 kids, going to the University of Arizona, receiving a Bachelor of Science in Education. In 2014, after a 3-year stint as a PE teacher, began serving full-time at Higher Ground. At Higher Ground, he served as a volunteer, site coordinator, program director, and now he is the Director of Development and Community Relations at Higher Ground in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Rob, welcome to BPN Radio on this Monday.
Well, thanks. It's good to be on this morning. And good. By the way, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And I know that we made a lot of memories. I was served as your pastor for about 8 years and or more. Yep. And then, of course, you graduated from the Christian high school that I started in 1981. So, and then, of course, your dad is well known on BPNRadio.com every Thursday at 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. He has the Special Needs Watch. And so, but it's the first time you've been on. I'm glad you're here. Glad we're talking about Higher Ground. Tell me about Higher Ground. What do you do at Higher Ground, and why should people be involved?
Well, let's see. Higher Ground is, we are a youth development organization. And what we do is we teach social-emotional learning skills and life skills to at-risk kids here in Tucson. Most of the kids here in Tucson have experienced some kind of trauma or are living in poverty here in Tucson. 1 in 4 children under the age of 4 in the United States has experienced some kind of trauma in their lives. And so we've figured out, we've recognized that this trauma that they've experienced is affecting their behavior, affecting their school, affecting them going to school, affecting their families, and those kind of things. You know, like you said in my bio, I've got 5 kids. All of them are adopted. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't really know what you're getting into until mm-hmm. they start to grow up. Mm-hmm. And so all the stuff that Higher Ground does is really helping even my family deal with a lot of the issues and things like that happens. You know, Higher Ground was founded 10 years ago on Christian principles, and we started out in a church. The first year that we started, we had 60 middle school students coming and getting tutoring, homework help, and learning different activities like flag football and stuff like that. Fast forward 10 years, now we're serving over 2,000 students here in Tucson. We're in 16 different schools. Wow. Teaching the same thing, social emotional learning and those kind of things. We still have our after school youth program. That's what we're mostly known for. But, you know, we're really blessed in getting to do what we get to do. We like to call ourselves, we're those stealth Christians that are kind of under the radar, mm-hmm. that live our lives by the Christian principles. We instill that love and character into our students, and we start to see that transformation start to happen in their lives the longer they are able to attend our programs.
Well, and so you're telling me that you have a thousand students involved?
Yeah, we come in contact with at least 2,000 students every year on an annual basis. What we do is our youth center, this is our high needs place. This is where our main headquarters, so to speak, is. And we serve about 120 K-8 students. And then we have probably about 25 to 40 high school students that come and volunteer their time. Most of them have grown up in our program, so they know everything about it. And so they're mentoring those middle school and those elementary students. Mm-hmm. Then we have a really awesome partnership with the U of A, where we have volunteers from the U of A who come in. We have usually about 40 to 50 volunteers that come and help and hang out with the kids and pour into the kids and mentor these kids. Then we've started a new program. We actually piloted it 2 years ago, but we've really got into the schools this year with what we call a Community Schools Initiative, where we have partnered with the Tucson Unified School District, the Sunnyside Unified School District. And what we're doing is we're targeting chronically absent students. Mm-hmm. So we have a proprietary life mapping that we do of every student that comes through our doors. We believe that going an inch wide and a mile deep. So if you look at an iceberg and you just see the top, well, we look at the bottom part and we try to figure out what makes each one of these students tick. And we work on, you know, we do the mental, the emotional, the social, the spiritual, and the physical health, you know, so that we can figure out, you know, why is this kid not in school? Mm-hmm. And so we have a team of AmeriCorps members. AmeriCorps is kind of like the Peace Corps here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So we have a team of about 85 to 90 AmeriCorps members that go into these schools, and we've targeted different students that are chronically absent, and we try to figure out what is going on. So these AmeriCorps members are able to map out the students. We do a bunch of different tests. We do a love language test. We do personality tests, risk assessment. We do a grit test. We believe that grit can be taught. And so we do all that stuff, and then we talk to parents. We do the social work side of things and let the school do the educating part. And that's what we're really known for and what we're really good at. So, you know, 2,000 students is really just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, because we're doing a lot of different things. We're also in four different high schools and middle schools where the school has a alternative to suspension. So, well, not alternative to suspension. Well, it's long-term suspension. They've been suspended 25 to 45 days.
Wow.
These students are. And so they send them to a different school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually go into those schools, and we do just a small part of what we do at our youth center in those schools. So we're in the school day, 3 hours, 2 days a week in each of those sites, teaching social emotional learning skills, showing love, building character. We do all that through physical activity. So we teach jujitsu, judo, archery, basketball, dance, music, robotics, coding, all kinds of different activities, because we want the kids to experience things in their lives that they never experienced before. And then once we instill these principles and build that character in them, then they can take that and they can relate it to those physical activities, those things that they've done with our higher ground staff. Mm-hmm. And so it's really pretty amazing, really, what we do. We're one of the only organizations probably in Arizona that does this, where we target behavioral health and we target the chronically absent, mm-hmm. and we combine it and do those kind of things with our students.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what an amazing opportunity that is, Rob. And you know, being able to serve 2,000 students every year, And why is there so much trauma in students today? Those in elementary, those in middle school, particularly middle school. What is happening over the past few years that makes this organization, this outreach necessary? What's going on?
Well, a lot of it is the poverty. We see a lot of it in our students where, you know, the kids have experienced a divorce in their homes, and that's what we consider trauma. It could be a divorce. It could be they see their mom or dad doing drugs. Mm-hmm. They see their mom overdose on drugs. You know, they are homeless, living in a car, any of those kind of things. So we're seeing kids that are experiencing that. And on the outside, a lot of these kids look like look normal and look like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But they're getting in trouble in school. They're doing different things. And we're able to really see what is making that child tick. And once we figure out that niche in that student, then we can target that. And we can say, you know what? All right, this student needs a little bit extra love. This student needs a little bit more one-on-one time. That's why we do mm-hmm. Gary Smalley's love language test. So mm-hmm. we can see, are we filling up that kid's love tank? Mm-hmm. Because when they go home, they may get yelled at all the time. They may get screamed at or whatever.
Yeah.
But when they come to higher ground, they get that love. They get that special attention. We treat every kid every day like it's a clean slate. So if a kid comes into our place and they're just awful that day, we still show them love. The next day they come in, it's like nothing ever happened. And so we treat every student the exact same way. We have a partnership with the Pima County Juvenile Corrections Center, and we do an alternative to detention. So we have kids, we have high school students that are on probation that get assigned to higher ground for 5 weeks, mm-hmm. and they come in. Some of them have got ankle bracelets on. Some of them have been kicked out of school. I mean, they've had this hard life. But they come and they join our program, and for that 5 weeks, we treat them just like our high school students. They get to volunteer. They get to participate. They get to do all kinds of stuff. And then they do a curriculum for 5 weeks that's called Crossroads, nationally recognized for social emotional learning. And so we're seeing just those kids being mm-hmm. impacted, and even their families are being impacted.
Wow.
But, you know, trauma, it exists in all kinds of different things. And that's what we're recognizing, that somehow a trauma affects the brain in such a way that it begins to cause these behavioral issues later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's stuff that, you know, we're just now recognizing.
Wow. This is one of the most amazing stories I've heard concerning higher ground in Tucson. Is Tucson the only city that higher ground is located in?
Yep, as of right now, yeah, we're the only ones we're only in Tucson. There's a lot of organizations that want us. There's a lot of cities that want us to come in, school districts that want us to come in, but. You know, we want to make sure that we're doing everything with a purpose and mm-hmm. doing things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we know that if we get spread too thin, we can't do it to the best of our ability.
That's great.
And
that's
you know,
great. You got to keep
yeah,
your priorities.
It's a special thing.
Yeah. Tell me how Higher Ground was able to make an entrance into the public schools and have such great support from the city of Tucson. How did that happen?
Well, it really started 10 years ago when we first started. Jansen, our founder and our executive director, he moved here from the Philippines when he was 18. And he started coming to our church and started getting involved in stuff. And he got radically saved and transformed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he had this vision for higher ground. And he wanted to go into the middle schools and do that because of the stories that he had heard mm-hmm. from his wife's son and those kind of things. And so we went to Pister Middle School, which is a Tucson Unified School District school. And we talked to the principal and we're like, hey, you know, we're starting this new thing. And we want kids to come. And he's like, well, how many kids do you want? And Jansen, being the 19-year-old kid, says, I want to, let's have, we'll take 60. And I'm looking at him going, what, are you crazy? We don't have anybody to help out and stuff. And so that's first year we had 60 kids. And we just all volunteers. But the transformation that happened in that middle school got word out to the TUSD. And then after we outgrew the church part of it, TUSD offered us part of their building in one of the middle schools. That they had extra rooms. And so we moved into there, and we grew to about 120 students, mostly middle school there at that site. TUSD started closing down schools, and so they were going to move a bunch of kids to that school, and they needed those rooms back. And TUSD said, well, one of the schools that we're closing down is Wakefield Middle School, and we would like you guys to put in a bid and come in. And so we did. They gave us this whole facility for $1 a year.
Wow.
And all we pay is the utilities and stuff. And so since, you know, we believe in serving, and so we serve, and God has just really blessed us because of that. And because we're serving, and because we're doing, you know, everything that we underpromise and overperform. That's what we do. So it's really a huge thing. And then the mayor's office started out with the community school initiative 2 years ago, and we were really on the executive committee for that. But we recognized that just targeting graduation rates, because that's what their target was, that we weren't really making an impact. But if we wanted kids to graduate, we needed to keep them in school. Mm-hmm. And so we changed up the whole community schools initiative to target that chronically absenteeism. We have, you know, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, one of our great friends and partners is one of the supervisors. Mm-hmm. We have one of the school board, her son and daughter come to our program during the summer. Mm-hmm. We have another city councilwoman, her daughter, her son is actually on our jiu-jitsu team. So, you know, that's how we've really gotten a lot of favor from everybody, and that's awesome. And it's because of our leadership and his vision for Higher Ground and his faithfulness to follow the call on his life to lead Higher Ground and to take us where God wants us to be at. You know, like I said, we don't profess ourselves as a Christian organization, because we have on staff, we have a Muslim, we have an atheist, we have agnostics, we have homosexuals. That's who we have on our staff, and we treat everybody the exact same way, with love, and we build character in their lives. And it's all, you know, eventually, who knows, you know, the way we live our lives, and that's what shines through and shows them, you know, what God can do in an organization, what God can do in a kid's life, what God can do in a family's life. And it's really awesome. I mean, it's a fun place to work. It's a cool thing.
I can tell, Rob, that you are very passionate about what you're doing, and the ability and the opportunity and the privilege to reach out to these kids and to be able to speak into their lives is quite amazing. And especially after you served in full-time ministry for several years now, I guess you still are in a different way. And you started serving at Higher Ground as a volunteer, right? You just started at the bottom of the ladder, and you have allowed the Holy Spirit to promote you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, I started volunteering full time 4 years ago when we first moved into Wakefield. Mm-hmm. And I was working full time and volunteering, and Jansen asked me, he says, hey, do you want to come work for me full time? And at the time, Tracy, my wife, was going to school full time. And I was like, well, I can't quit in the middle of the school year. And I can't quit because my wife is not working at the moment, and I was going to take a pay cut. And so I told him no. I continued to volunteer, and then the next year he asked me to come on staff. And then we had there was only three of us at the time, me, Jansen, and his wife. And we were all three volunteering full. Actually, two of us were getting paid, and Jansen wasn't taking a paycheck. He didn't take a paycheck for the first, 7, 8 years of Higher Ground. He just now, the last 2 years, has really started taking one. But we've grown from those three staff to now we have 25 full-time staff. We have about 5 part-time staff. And then we supervise and oversee 65 AmeriCorps members that we do. And then there's another 30 that we have some kind of influence in their lives. So our staff, if you counted everybody, we're a staff of about almost 100 people. And that's gone from, that was three, from three people to that.
That's
and
amazing.
So, you know, it's just, you know, God has been placing me in different things that I've never done before, like community or director development, and, you know, writing grants and going out in the community and trying to raise money and doing all that. It's really not my forte, so to speak. And but God has given me a good team of people, and running our AmeriCorps staff is, that's part of my department also. But I have two awesome full-time managers who are able to manage all that stuff. And if I had to do it all myself, I couldn't even fathom doing it. But yeah, like you said, though, Higher Ground to us, me, Jansen, and his wife, it's a ministry. We're doing ministry 7 days a week. Out of that, we actually birthed a church called the Church at Higher Ground. And Jansen's our pastor, and we have several families that come that are from Higher Ground, just people that we've known and stuff. But it's all it is really a Bible study and a time for us to get together and really study God's word and really, you know, get refreshed a little bit, because you know, we see a lot of stuff during the week, and it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I know it is, Rob.
Yeah.
I know you're passionate about what you're saying, and I'm excited with you. And this is an amazing story. And how is Higher Ground supported? Your budget must have, with this many full-time employees, your budget must have skyrocketed over the past few years. How is Higher Ground supported? How is it funded?
We are a specialty behavioral health agency. And so what that means is we have about 30 to 40 students who are on behavioral health services. And so the behavioral health agency that they are with, who manages their ADHD, their anger management, all that stuff, refers those students to us. And so what we do is we bill for those students. So our billing is really what pays a lot of the bills. So that pays a lot of it. We have the contract we have with TUSD to go into their alternative schools to target their suspended students. That's another thing that we do. We also have a contract with Pima County Juvenile Corrections Center for the Youth Success Center with that. Then we're trying to get a couple other contracts. But after that, most of it comes from individual donors. We have some awesome donors who donate every year. We do a banquet every September. We're getting ready to do another big fundraiser called Arizona Gives, part of that, and that's coming up in April. We write a lot of grants. We write probably between 75 and 100 grants every year. We probably only get about maybe 20 of them, and they're not that big, but you know, it helps with all of our programming that we do, all of our equipment, and all of our supplies and stuff is purchased through those grants that we're able to write for.
I know, Rob, that you're making a huge difference. You're making a huge difference in Tucson, and wow, being able to speak into have the opportunity to go directly to the lives of these young people, and being able to speak into their lives is quite amazing. Tell me about why you adopted 5 children. Let me ask you about that. Why did you and Tracy adopt 5 children?
I don't know. Well, we tried to have kids for probably about 10 years, and we finally had kind of just given up. And my mom had gone to a pastor's conference and came in contact with a pastor's wife, and their youth pastors knew a 15-year-old, actually she was 14 at the time, who was pregnant and was thinking about giving up her baby for adoption. And we really hadn't thought about adoption, hadn't talked about it at all. My mom came back with this story and stuff, and I knew the youth pastor, and we met the young lady at youth convention that year. And she walked up to us and she looked at us and said, "I want you guys to adopt my baby." Mm-hmm. And it was like, holy cow. So, you know, it was really a God thing when we adopted Mackenzie. And so that was the first time. And then we started doing foster care, and we had several kids come through our home and stuff. And then we had these three boys that we were told about, and, you know, we fell in love with them and just, we adopted them. At one point we had a 10 passenger van, and I had seven car seats, all in there. Yeah, that was when I was a lot younger, and it was crazy. Then we moved to Tucson, and we wanted to adopt a little girl, and so we did foster care again, and we adopted Cassidy, who was, she was 4 months premature, had been drug exposed, and so we were able to adopt her. She's 10 now. The boys, you know, some of them, they had been through some trauma in their lives, where my oldest son, his mom had put him in boiling water and burn a bunch of parts of his body and stuff. And so, you know, now that they're all teenagers, now they're 14, 15, 16. Mackenzie's fixing to be 17. Cassidy's 10. So now we're starting to see, you know, different things. It's like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. You know, why are they doing that? And so, you know, being here at Higher Ground has been awesome, because we've been able to realize, oh, that trauma that they experienced, you know, way back whenever, starting to rear its ugly head, so to speak. So, you know, we're able to deal with that. We're able to talk through it with the kids and stuff, but. Yeah, I don't know why we decided on five kids, because I tell you what,
Rob, I think it's pretty evident. That's why you're in Higher Ground, because of your passion to reach out to others, and I'm really proud of you. Tell me, why don't you? There's probably people listening today that may be considering adoption. I know of, you know, we know of several people that's considering that. What, after going through that and having four adopted teenagers and working with, 2,000 children, young people each year at Higher Ground, what would you say to a couple that is prayerfully considering adopting a child? What would you say to them?
I would say make sure you pray about it. Also, spread out their ages a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you're adopting siblings, make sure there's some space in there. The best way to adopt kids is really do foster care first. There are over 18,000 kids just here in Arizona that are in the foster care system, and you know, a lot of these kids that need to be adopted aren't being adopted because everybody wants a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, pray about that. You know, are you doing this because you really want kids? Are you doing it just because you want to, because you want to make a difference in a kid's life? You know, and that's kind of how me and my wife went into it, looking at that. You know what? We want to make a difference in these kids' lives. And, you know, we look at where all five of ours could have been, and now we look at where they're at now. We're constantly telling them, hey, you are so blessed to be in the situation that you're in now, because mm-hmm. they all know their story. They all know where they came from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they're all like, yeah, I know, Mom, I know, Dad. And then, you know, they go off on their own way. But, you know, do foster care first. That's my my biggest thing. You know, it's easy to go do a private adoption. It's easy to go do all that. You know, pray about it. You know, find a good foster care agency that you can. There's a lot of good Christian organizations out there that do that kind of foster care ministry. Mm-hmm. And so that's my suggestion. That's my
okay.
What I would tell people.
Very good. Rob, we have just a few moments left here in this portion of BPNRadio.com on this Monday. Prayer Watch, good to have everybody listening in. I'm speaking to Rob Lester, whom I've known most of his life. He's the Director of Development Community Relations in Tucson, Arizona, and has the opportunity to speak into the lives of about 2,000 young people a year. How can people reach you, and is there a what about people that may be listening that would like to start a higher ground in their city? Is that possible, or would you give any information on that, or what is the opportunities that may be there?
We could have a conversation about it. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And the best way to get a hold of us is we have our website, which is www.higherground.me. And then my email address is rob@higherground.me. So it's real easy to get a hold of us, you know, in that way. I would love to have a conversation if somebody is, you know, wanting to talk about, hey, I want to start a higher ground, because that's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
Is really, you know, having that conversation and then giving somebody else the tools that we use to get them started.
Yeah.
That's because we don't know the needs in those different cities.
Right.
We know how to target our city, but you know, there are cities across this nation that there are people that they're like, wow, you know, maybe we need something like that.
Yeah.
And we can help with that. We can do some training. We can do different things like that and help out. So those are the best ways to get a hold of me.
Okay. Higherground.me and, of course, Rob Lester, higherground.me. Is that correct?
No, nope, just Rob.
Oh, Rob. R-O-B. Okay. Rob.
Yep.
Higherground.me.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. What an amazing ministry outreach you guys have going. And I believe that, you know, I believe that every city in America needs this type of outreach. I know there's churches doing it. I know there's a lot of other people that are doing it, and some are not doing it. But I believe this is a tremendous opportunity. Before you go, Rob, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for anybody that's listening that's considering maybe getting involved in community outreach like this, and also maybe someone that's considering adopting a child or having doing foster care. Why don't you pray? And I want to say thank you for being on today. What an honor. What an amazing story you have. So you pray. I'm going to play some prayer music. You pray. And just want to say thank you for being on today.
Well, thank you for having me on.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, you can pray.
Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now, and Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to be on my friend's radio program. I appreciate the Gentry family and everything that they've instilled in my life, and I just speak blessing upon them and everything that they do. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, for those organizations, for those people that are out there who really think that or really are called to youth ministry in the way that we do youth ministry. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will just show them, you know, how they can do it and how they can do things, you know, not necessarily like we do, but can minister to young people and really look past all their faults. Look at everything as a clean slate every day. And Lord, I just pray for those that are even considering adopting kids, Lord, that you will just put in their hearts, Lord, that love for kids that are in foster care. And that you will just speak to their hearts and speak to their minds and just show them, you know, the right kids and put them in the right places, Lord, and just open those doors for them. Heavenly Father, I just pray for all the youth that may be listening, that you will just touch their lives, and that you will show them that, hey, there are people out there that care and people out there that love them. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just be with each and every person who's listening today, and that Lord, you will just let your Holy Spirit just minister and let your Holy Spirit just lead them in any capacity that you would have them to work with young people and work with kids or even adopting. And Lord, I just thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much, Rob. I'm very proud of you. I hope to have you back again.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
I'm laying out all the pieces of my life. On the altar, I'm your sacrifice. Let your fire fall. I'm waiting. God is great. Great is the Lord. You are Lord. God is great. Yeah, we're singing.
Undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Let it be